Attention, FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your morning show prep begins now.
Seconds after the hour of 9, in this the month of March, in the year of our Lord 2005, thank you for coming by live from Portland, here from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Max 9 TED Talk Radio for Guys. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live, I say, the only live and local talk show between the hours of 9 and noon on your radio dial, everything else having been taped hours ago, now emanating from the cold stainless steel heart of a machine, clear channel style. We're live, though. We're glad you're here. It's 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. If you'd like to email, by gosh, by gum, by golly, by wow, it is Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Thank you for coming by. Good times ahead today, my friends. You know why? It's right here. Hear that right there in my hands? I hold the numbers for the KOTK soundbank today and a whole series of sound effects that you never thought you would hear again. Sound rescued from Tim Riley's Max 910 archives. Things that you never again thought would grace your radio dial. I'm not even going to tell you where they are.
And it all happened because a box fell off a shelf.
These things always have an exciting story behind them. Hey, let me ask you this before we continue anything. Is Travis still in the room over there?
No.
Okay. Do you think that he operates the board by just randomly slamming his forehead down on the counter and seeing what buttons he presses with his face?
Yes.
Okay. I was just checking. It is sort of an infinite number of monkeys typing Shakespeare kind of thing over there.
We've had worse.
Who?
Yeah, I can't.
I don't want to name names because I don't want to embarrass them on the radio. They're probably still on the unemployment line.
Good times. Good times for all. All right, if you want to pick up the phone and be part of today's cavalcade of merriment, it is 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. And we need your help today because we haven't... I beseech you... Well, call, don't call. But we're probably not going to have time for it right now. But we have to name Listener Party 8. We announced yesterday, which is coming up Friday.
Friday. Be there.
April 15th. Friday. April 15th, 8 p.m. at the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. Right there in the heart of the city.
I'm walking there. That's going to be great.
Well, yeah, it's the first one we've had. I mean, Barracuda's right downtown, I guess. But it's the first one we've had in town on our side of the river. We're an easterly people here on the Rick Emerson Show. Except for Tim and Matt.
Well, I still own property in the north end of town. Does that count?
you're a slumlord in the north part of town. So we got to name the listener party. Today we have the return of the Osama Watch. We have some long-lost sounders from the KOTK archive. We have a sad but somewhat under-the-radar classic rock death. Gay anarchists continue their takeover of God's decent country. And today we ask the musical question, how many brains would a brain eater eat if a brain eater could eat brains? We'll get to that. What else? Well, we have the Jackson Watch, of course. I believe we have a double Hick Watch coming up today. We do have... Today's worst song you've ever heard isn't so bad, actually. It's just a question of looking at it through the right pair of eyes. It's all relative. It's just a matter of perspective. It's fairly terrible, but it's no Kevin Blechdom. But really, what is, my friends? What is? So we'll get to that. What else? Jolie will be here. Because Dennis...
Let me see if I get this straight. Because Dennis Pitsenbarger was here yesterday, Dennis Glasgow will be here today, which means the abused Dennis call needs to be, as the Franklin Covey people say, planned forward as well as today. We'll bring Dennis on later on. You can call up and abuse him while he speaks of sports. Let's see, we have a bunch of unimportant birthdays. Yeah, we'll talk about some great shows that premiere tonight. Oh, I got this thing. I don't know if you all have seen this. There's a thing that was recently set up by a local Catholic church to concern parents all throughout the Portland area. These are, I don't have time to read them now, but we will try to read them later. These are warning signs that your child might be a goth.
Yep. That's the main concern of parents of Catholic children at the moment.
Apparently, they've solved all the other problems.
Well, that's good. I'm glad they've got it.
So, it seems like if you're unable to tell whether your child is a goth, you're 9/10 defeated on this problem anyway. But we'll read the list later on, so you too can tell if your child has become one of the goths. And so forth. 503-535-9100. And outside of Portland, 1-877-535-9100. She's an amazing singing, tap dancing, bike riding whore. She's Sarah Dillon. How are
you? Hey, only I can say that. What are you talking about?
You gave me permission yesterday.
I did not.
You did. I was here.
I do not think so, Piggy.
It's not even the name calling. If I can't call you a whore, you can't call me a piggy.
Okay, then stop with the whore and I'll stop with the piggy.
Be the way that it is. And you're wearing blue today.
Yeah.
That's not a thing you ever wear. Is it a brand new shirt?
It's kind of new. I've had it for like a month now.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. See, I'm being a conscientious, sensitive guy who notices these things about you.
Okay.
Should get me points for something later on. In the Max 910 newsroom, Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
Well, here, Sun Koo Kim get a tongue lashing during interrogation. We have the tape. Martha Stewart complains her ankle bracelet chafes. And we'll find out what makes Bono care so much.
Excellent. That is all coming up along with everything else. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, except to say that for those of you who have been following the Bigger Than Jesus production blog, which you can see at rickemerson.com, the newly designed and revamped rickemerson.com. If you've been following the Bigger Than Jesus production blog, you've seen us bemoaning the fact. It's just been weeks and weeks and weeks. Not that I don't enjoy the creative process, and not that I don't love Vancouver. I mean, what's not to love? But I have been spending like 8, 9, 10 hours in a stretch in a tiny, small, cat-filled room with my friend Joni DeRoshi. But I'm pleased to announce that as of last night, the Bigger Than Jesus script is finished. It is locked. It is, as Microsoft says, gold.
Congratulations.
Thank you. God damn, man.
You have been working on that thing for, it seems like, years.
Jesus. And it was just going on. It was like sitting out there and just pounding a corkscrew into my ear with a shoe. Not that it hasn't been fun and enjoyable every step of the way. But like we were supposed to start rehearsing like 3 damn weeks ago. And that clearly wasn't happening. So it's done. It's finished. We're moving forward. And we'll have more details about that. But you can always follow the progress at rickemerson.com. So that went home last night. And it was done. It was finished. And we were good to go. So anyway, that is all that stuff we talked about. It's all coming up along with your phone calls, your emails, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. It is 503-535-9100, 1-877-535-9100. This is Trey Parker and Matt Stone with The Man Song, live from Portland. It is the Rick Emerson Show on Max 910. You stay right there. We will continue after this. Hey!
Makes a man, is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory?
Hell.
Give it all you got to fight to the top, so we can know your story. Now you're a man. Now you're a man. A man, a man,
man, a man.
Tim Riley begins everything around the corner, as he always does, with the 9 o'clock news live from Portland. The Rick Emerson Show back after this.
Live it! Live it!
503-535-9100. Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, a man, a broadcaster, a way of life. It's Tim Riley.
It's not just news. It's news that hurts. And Max 910.
We begin today, as we should, with Sungkoo Kim. In Benton County Court, trying to prove that his panty collecting was just a hobby, like any other, like collecting stamps or building model airplanes. He tried to convince police that he bought many of the panties at Goodwill, till it was pointed out...
Because that's somehow less creepy.
But it was pointed out that Goodwill doesn't sell soiled garments, as these were. The court heard a tape of a detective screaming at Sungkoo Kim during an interrogation on this very subject.
Go in there and rough them up.
I don't even know what's being said, and I don't care. So Goodwill doesn't sell.
Wait, is the key word here soiled?
Soiled, yes.
Many, what an unpleasant
no,
word.
No, many
that
of
is.
These were. See.
And then you start thinking about, well, how do they tell if they're soiled or not? Maybe it's just some sort of staining over time that doesn't want to come out with a good scrubbing. Maybe
these were stolen before they went through the wash cycle.
Is there some sort of an odorologist that has to? Is there a dog that is some sort of a panty sniffing dog? Boy, that's an unpleasant phrase. Is there some low-level turnkey intern that has to go through and determine which? I'm not trying to be horrific. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this story.
What is your question?
Bottom. I don't understand how they determine which ones are soiled and which ones are merely old.
You know how they determine it.
I don't.
All right.
There must be an expert who's listening right now.
Are you eating?
Yes.
Oh, this is going to please that guy who did. Dear advertiser, I will never listen again until Sarah quits eating all the air.
I'm up at 4. It's lunchtime for me.
All right.
You know how if you wear a shirt a lot, I bet it's just like that. You know,
Do you mean from the feel of it? You mean by looking at it?
No, never mind. I'm not going to say it.
I don't understand. What are you trying to say? How would they determine which underwear are soiled and which are not?
By looking at it.
Maybe they're putting it under the microscope.
Maybe they just don't bleach enough.
I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
There's a guy paid to sniff panties at the police station. There is a guy paid to pick up a box of underwear and smell them to try to determine whether the underwear are clean.
So maybe there'll be a plea bargain for Sungkoo Kim to go after others.
It'll be like
who
one of those
this entire activity.
It'll be like one of those computer hackers that's hired by a security firm to keep other hackers out.
Because he must know. He must know.
He's got a finely trained nose.
That's the most messed up thing because, like, half of that underwear I probably know the people who used to own it. Because, you know, I was at school there during that time.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's equal parts repellent and enticing. So, there you go. So, I'm not trying to be horrific. Look, I'm not trying to be... If you can come up with an alternate explanation for how the police were able to deduce which underwear... Because these are women's panties, right?
Correct, yes.
So, I mean, look, I mean, even clean underwear, you put them in a drawer, they get wadded up. And you know, especially if you're not trying to impress somebody, you just shove them into a drawer when they're clean like everybody else does with everything else. So...
I suppose it depends on one's personal hygiene habits.
Perhaps. Well, we should move forward now. Here's Tim Riley.
The Portland School Board will close down Edwards, Richmond, and Smith Elementary Schools in the fall. They may have to lay off 300 employees, but it's the children here who are the victims.
Our friends might be going to a different school. Not only will they be shutting down a school, they'll also be breaking friendships.
Oh, that's right.
Whatever. Get a job.
I know. I moved every 2 to 4 years when I was younger.
Shut your hole.
You can make new friends, little boys, girls.
Some people don't wish to make friends.
Whatever you are.
Some people wish to stay isolated alone.
Mm-hmm.
Locked in the room with a box of panties.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do this? Do you ever meet somebody with a child and you, for the life of you, can't tell what gender the child is? And I'm not talking about like it's a mutant kid born with a penis and the other stuff. Hello, this is my child, Terry. And you're like,
No, like Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes. No, I mean the non-Jamie Lee Curtis guy. Like where you just meet... Like, that happens to me sometimes, especially in the radio, because here's the thing that will happen. This is another. We ought to have a whole chapter. Like Likas says, you know, he does the Likas 101. We really ought to do like a radio school, because broadcasting schools are just closing down left and right because people are realizing they're a scam. And I'm here to tell you right now they're a scam, especially if it's being taught by some failed DJ. So don't spend money on that. But we ought to just do everything like Rick Emerson's Guide to Radio or whatever. Things you need to know. Here's the thing you need to know. If you work in the production side of radio, meaning if you're locked in a small little habit trail all day, like our friend Todd, you at some point during the week will have to be locked in that room with a small child that belongs to a salesperson. And that salesperson will bring their child in to voice a spot in a commercial because they think it's adorable. And they think that you think it's adorable. You do not. They don't know that, though. I'm here to tell you. But how many times have you heard this, though, where it's like there's some child in a commercial, and you're like, oh, your daughter sounds really cute in the commercial. Like, that's my son. And then there's a whole, you're trying to dig yourself out of that for the rest of the day.
Well, here's something that ought to make you happy. Derry Jackson gets 50 days in jail.
Yeah.
This after violating a restraining order against approaching his estranged wife. Jackson could face 6 months in jail if he violates the new restraining order. He was back in court yesterday. He was arrested February 23rd for going within 50 feet of his wife's house in unincorporated Washington County.
What does unincorporated mean? That's a thing that I hear pop up all the time.
Really, it's not really part of a city, but it is.
Thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate that. This is one of those things where you realize this is why these little kids are... It's just as well that they're getting kicked out of school, because you're not learning anything at that stupid school anyway. I didn't learn anything. I'm 32. I don't know. I'm a taxpayer, and I don't know what an unincorporated county is. I'm not really asking anybody to call
it. Is it unincorporated neighborhoods that are in the wooded areas outside of a town?
But what is it like? What is the practical effect of being unincorporated?
It hasn't been swallowed up by a bigger city yet. They're not paying city taxes.
Ah, okay. All right, so it is a tax issue.
Right,
it's a tax issue. These are all things I don't know.
Now you know. You didn't have to go to school. You could have sat here with me.
We can just close the schools and children can sit around and listen to the wireless every day and learn from myself and Tim.
Now let's do the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch, not Derry Jackson, regrettably. Jackson would just, his watch would just be klezmer music. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the prosecutors were hoping that Michael Jackson's accuser would come to the witness stand yesterday and cement their place in the case. They're disappointed, perhaps even mortified, by the young man's demeanor and testimony. Savannah Guthrie of Court TV says the little thug got a little mouthy.
A lot of times I thought he was very sassy with the defense attorney, and even the judge had to admonish him, listen to the question, you're not answering the question, listen to the question. At one point, the defense attorney asked him, now didn't you say that Michael Jackson claimed you as your own, claimed you as part of his family?
I claim you.
Well, what do you mean claim?
Like
claim on your tax returns? Not so good to be acting so sassy in a court of law.
By far the most important revelation from the day's testimony is that the young man apparently told a former middle school dean of his that Michael Jackson did not molest him. Quote, I told him that Michael didn't do anything to me, unquote, the man told jurors. And then Messero said the school official asked the young man, look at me, I can't help you unless you tell me the truth. Powerful stuff of the defense, especially since it appears that prosecutors were unaware of the dean's reported testimony until this past weekend.
Oh, that's gotta hurt. Yeah, he needs to be taught to the tune of a hickory stick.
Clearly.
He does. Just from what I've been able to glean from the E reenactments every night and the Abrams report,
that show's boring.
No, it's a man. This is I'm not saying whether he's guilty or not. I don't purport to know that. Apparently, the prosecution, this case of the '93. This kid in 93 was a lot stronger, but that's the kid that he paid off for $20 million, which is why that was so much, because apparently there was a lot of evidence in that case. Based on what, and I wasn't there, but based on the transcripts and the stuff that has come out from this, I don't know whether he's guilty or not, but I'll be very surprised at this point if he gets convicted. So we can all cry a little tear for that, and we won't. It looks like we will not get to see him shackled and...
And Michael Jackson showed up for the second day in a row on time.
Yeah, but he was... I know that this is really just an understatement of Gaussian proportion, but he was looking damn weird yesterday. He showed up, first of all, even I know this. Michael Jackson, what is he? Is he a winter at this point? What is he? What season is Michael Jackson, would you say, Sarah?
Either a winter or a spring.
A spring? Is that because he's so pale?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you don't wear a lot of pale, light clothing when you're like that, because then you just vanish and you look like Casper. And he showed
up. No, he's the winter because he's a lot of like dark greens and.
See, and he
blues.
Looks good in that when he mm-hmm. wears dark, like black and like earth. I know this sounds fruity, but he showed
it
up.
Does.
Wearing, no, but he showed up wearing this cherry red suit. He looked like a thermometer. I mean, he looked like a candy cane, and it was just it did not serve him well at all. And he had his wig on sideways at one point. He walked in and not sideways, but very much askew, sort of like. But I thought he was maybe being like. Like a little rakish, you know, like you might wear a bowler, sort of at an angle, like he was being, you know, like he was being sort of jaunty about it. But I think he just got caught in a breeze, or he caught it on the roof of the car or something. His hair was like at this weird 40 degree angle, and then
maybe the Velcro came loose.
And then late, well, he's got that hair club for men thing where they like glue it to your head. God, that's a scam and a half. You want to talk about a thing that is a give you the razor, sell you the blades? Here's some hair. The glue costs $800 a month. And then I saw him later on, and he looked fine. So, but based on what I've seen so far, he's going to walk. I'm not even going to say he's going to moonwalk. But they're not going to get him on. They're not going to nail him on this. The only way, there's only two ways as I see it that he's going to get convicted. A, if the jury just thinks he's a goddamn weirdo, and then ought to be put away on that, which is not like out of the question. And B, there's talk about the prosecution trying to backdoor in the 93 victim somehow to show that there's a pattern. So if they can get the 93 kid on the stand, the word is he may just go away on that because the evidence was so much stronger in that case, and they're trying to find a way to get that in. Other than that, he's totally going to skate on these charges, whether he's guilty or not.
That's today's Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Out of California comes word a judge ruled that state's ban on gay marriage is unconstitutional, a legal milestone that, if upheld in appeal, could open the door for the most populous state to follow Massachusetts, that evil state, in allowing same-sex couples to wed. Judge Richard Kramer of San Francisco County's tri-level superior court likened the ban to laws requiring racial segregation in schools and said there appears to be no rational purpose for denying marriage to gay couples. The ruling came in response to lawsuits filed by the city of San Francisco and a dozen gay couples a year ago after the California Supreme Court halted a four-week same-sex marriage spree started by Mayor Gavin Newsom. The opinion has been eagerly awaited because of San Francisco's historical role as gay rights battleground. Gay marriage supporters hailed the ruling as an historic development akin to the 1948 state Supreme Court decision that made California the first state to legalize interracial marriage.
The best thing about this is every time one of these decisions comes out, if you listen really closely, you can hear crumpled up Bibles and beer cans being hurled angrily at televisions by idiot rednecks everywhere.
Okay, here comes the best part of this. Ready? Supporters of same-sex marriage found an ally in San Francisco Judge Richard Kramer, who is a Catholic Republican. Catholic Republican appointed to the bench by a former GOP governor.
That's got
to
hurt.
We are certain the judge's decision is right, said the San Francisco mayor, whose city lawsuits prompted Kramer's ruling Monday that gays and lesbians have the right to marry in California, despite a law and a voter-approved measure, mostly from Orange County, the bigots, declaring marriage to be the exclusive realm of heterosexuals. Opponents of gay marriage immediately declared that the 57-year-old Kramer...
Don't tell me. An activist judge.
You got it.
Yeah!
Whose decision was ludicrous and nonsense.
Uh-huh. Okay, whatever. You know, the fantastic thing about this is, in Massachusetts... Were you just smelling your armpit?
I was smelling my shirt because I had something with
soiled?
Onions on it earlier. No, it smells like B.O. in here. And it smells like boy B.O.
How is that different? Is it different?
Yeah.
Well, because yours is...
I had my Subway sub, and so I had onions on. I thought maybe I got onions on my shirt, but I didn't.
Because you're a girl, you just... your B.O. just smells like talcum powder.
No, I don't smell at all. I don't know where that smell came from.
No, that's what I'm saying.
This is a show about smell today.
I guess so.
You just smell like...
It works really well on the radio.
You smell like roses and sunshine.
You have to come in here and smell the soda during the break.
No, that's okay.
See, why would you want me to... What is that? That's... Does this milk taste rotten?
Did you take the Febreze bottle?
Oh, yeah.
It's right here.
Yeah.
I saw it earlier.
I'll give it back to you. I had it in here. I was talking about it yesterday.
All right. See, now I think I know
now
the reason
Eric
why that's
McAvoy
in here.
Did McAvoy bring that in?
I think so.
Well, he moved.
I thought he moved
to Pig's Knuckle, Arkansas or whatever, so we can have
Detroit.
That. Detroit. So he's dead by now, so we can take it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. So we can spray down the... We can get rid of the ode to Travis. Travis's funk.
You are so mean.
Okay. Now,
I don't
think
he listens to us.
I'm
okay.
Just speaking rational. Who else would it belong to? It's just you and him in there. There's nobody else that uses that room.
Board off in the afternoon.
No, there's not a single other person. There's not one other person during the day who might smell. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot that Matt Peterson uses... No, it's probably not him. It's probably Travis. Just look at that guy. He looks like he sweats a lot.
No, he douses himself in cologne.
Well, there's your first clue.
You know what? It doesn't smell like cologne in here today, and it usually does.
He probably turned off the water at his place, and he's trying to compensate.
Oh.
What was I talking about? Oh, so here's the great thing about this. Because in Massachusetts, the garages, as Kay's Whirling would call them, are going on in Massachusetts, and now they're 60-day in California. And then
It's up in the air here.
Here, it's all sort of in the middle. It's all straddling the fence.
We haven't got nowhere.
The best thing about this is, though, with every state that does this, we're closer to all the pinhead Christian supremacists packing their valises and moving away. That's the thing, man.
To the middle of the country.
Well, to the middle of the country, or just back to the south. You know, if we could just sort of divvy it up, you know, slave and free again.
They need to move to states with lousy scenery.
Well,
like Kansas and places like that.
There you go.
Flat.
Utah and Wyoming are bereft of people. You could fit the entire population of this, a true fact. One might even say factoid. You could fit the entire population of America inside Wyoming. So get to moving.
All right.
There's this really messed up in there.
Anyway, let's talk about Martha Stewart, who went online last night for a chat session on the internets. And it wasn't long before fans began asking personal questions.
From Sue Ann F., do you have on your ankle bracelet? Martha, I was fitted last week with the probation department's ankle bracelet. It is somewhat uncomfortable and irritating. I hope that you never have to wear one.
Martha took questions from over 5,000 online at the time.
More questions like this one from Polsky. What did you prepare as your first meal when you returned home? Martha, it wasn't pierogies, I'm sad to say. Instead, I cooked up a batch of scrambled eggs and cottage cheese for my doggies.
Aww. Because she cares.
Because she's one of the common people.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Time for the cannibal watch.
Here's your cannibal. Speaking of cooking things up, here's your cannibal watch.
This is a British cannibal. A convicted killer with a desire to cannibalize his victims has been jailed for the rest of his natural life after admitting killing two men. 34-year-old Peter Bryan was arrested as he prepared to eat part of Brian Cherry at the victim's London flat. He went on to kill Richard Loudwell, a Broadmoor special hospital attendant, in April last year while on remand, whatever that means.
Oh, that was just like on probation.
Bryan pled guilty on Tuesday to two manslaughters on the grounds of diminished responsibility. Sentencing him, Judge Giles Forrester said the protection of the public was the most important factor.
This is a really British story. Everybody here sounds very, very British.
The prosecution accepted no guilty pleas to murder charges because of the weight of psychiatric evidence. However, it also revealed that Bryan had been released from a secure hospital after he was detained for killing shop assistant Nisha Shep, who was beaten to death with a hammer in 1993.
What a legal system do they have going on over there?
The case remains a chilling insight into the mind of a man who has literally developed an appetite for killing. The circumstances of this defendant's offending, the inability of experts to detect where he was the most dangerous, and his settling desire to cannibalize his victims all combined to make him uniquely dangerous.
Now I've got some more details on this. Who wants to hear them?
I do.
Okay. Now this is from CNN Britain. A self-confessed cannibal killed three people, dismembering one victim and eating part of his brain. Was sentenced to life imprisonment on Tuesday. Listen to this, though. He's locked up. Oh, and he killed a woman with a hammer, too. When police arrived at Cherry's East London flat, this is some guy that got killed, they found his corpse dismembered with part of his brain in a frying pan. You know, that's a bad, bad way to end things. That's an especially sad end for somebody. You have no idea that that's going to happen when you get up that morning. You just think you're going to have a shepherd's pie and go play some cricket or whatever they do, and they go to bed.
That's why you should hang out with only vegetarians. You wouldn't have to worry about it.
And then the creepiest sentence of the day comes from the cannibal who says, "I would have done someone else if you hadn't come along," he said. "I wanted their souls." Good times. This is your Cannibal Watch. Take a break. Back after this. Sit in.
From 9 till noon, there's only one choice for local talk. Rick Emerson, right here on Max 910, Talk Radio for Guys.
I'm not sure about this. Oh, yeah, do we have the...
Everything.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome to my world. Here we talk to you, with you, about you. About you, your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, and all the things that make you so very special. Me? Yeah. I'm Bruce. Welcome, my friends. Welcome to my world. Welcome to TalkNet. And see, here there would ideally be a jingle. Someone who cares. So, there you go. It was pointed out to me yesterday that in addition to your friendly next-door neighbor, Lee Mirabal, and a woman who had a really sexy voice named Myrna Lamb. And please no one send me pictures of her, because I listened to TalkNet back in the day before there's the internet, so I have no idea what she looks like, and so I'm going to cling to the belief that she was hot, which we all know is not the case. But somebody reminded me that another woman who got her start on TalkNet doing this show right after Bruce Williams, bada bing, Sally Jesse Raphael.
Oh, she was around forever.
Her and her big-ass red glasses.
She's been fired from every job she's ever had.
Yep.
She said that in front of a big crowd one night.
That's why she was always sort of not a role model, but she was always, I mean, it sounds really dumb to say that Sally Jesse Raphael was an inspiration, but she used to talk about how she got blown out of like every gig she ever had.
Every single one.
And then, she's not really big anymore, but she definitely had her moment in the sun, so she did persevere, and she...
You gotta respect
her. Yeah, you made her. She made it happen. So there you go. There's the talk. I don't know where that guy got that from. That TalkNet bed. So if anybody's able to rustle up the TalkNet with the song over that, someone to turn to, someone to listen, because that's what friends do. You can find that. You pass that along. Because you know what I tried to find, and then we'll dive back into the news here. Because we've been talking so much about that. This radio station sucks. You turn it up. Which I kind of, and I've fallen into the thing
I'm
saying
every day.
All weekend I was saying it.
I know. It's so much fun. You can finish anything with Turn It Up.
Well, Laura, who doesn't listen to the station anymore because she's busy, you know, she's doing healing the sick and so forth, she said something. She was in the kitchen this weekend, and she was making some, I don't know, whatever. She was making like a frozen something or other, like some tofu crap or whatever. And she takes one bite, and you know, she says to herself in the kitchen, "This tofu sucks." And, of course, in the living room, "Turn it up!" You know, and she has no idea what it even means. But I was going through all my archives at home, by which I mean a box filled with jumbled crap. I have a DAT. A digital audio tape. I have a DAT that is an archive of all the liners from the hot talk station I worked at in Salt Lake. I cannot find it, though, for the life of me. And it is an archive of, like, 70 of those, you know, cranking it up and kicking out your teeth, or whatever. This is Hot Talk KCNR. I cannot find for the life of me.
It's under a pile of T-shirts in the third drawer, probably.
T-shirts
and,
like...
That's where I usually find things.
T-shirts and a box of CDs I was given to give away in 1995. Mm-hmm. Like, a crate of White Zombie CDs that I never gave away. So I have somewhere... a DAT filled with all of our liners, and I have no idea where to. So I got to find it so I can bring it into play. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Bono has launched the clothes line, a line of clothes, despite confessing he knows nothing about fashion. The U2 frontman and his wife Ellie have joined forces with men's designer Rogan to produce a range of jeans and T-shirts. The range will be called Eden. That's nude spelled backwards.
Oh, by the way, Bono's clothing line will be made by starving Africans.
I'm always on and on about Africa. But, but when you go to Africa, it's very clear that what the Africans want is, yes, they want to help. They want that help, that aid. But what they really want is trade. The fishing rod rather than the fish.
What makes you...
I want to stab that guy in the eyes. I don't know why. And I know it's terrible. I was talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's there helping poor Africans, and it makes me angry. Not that he's helping poor Africans, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's... I don't know what it is. Bono comes on. Look, I've given $1 billion to Africa to help me, and I'm like, kill him! It defies all logic. All right, I'm not going to... Well, I'm...
Say, Mr. Bono, what... What makes you care so much?
I mean, we're really lucky people. I mean, we're having a lot of fun. I think it's really important that you should know that. And we're not people that kind of are carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders.
No, not you.
There are moments when you do feel overwhelmed by what you see in front of your eyes. The thrill is the thought that you could do something about it.
What more could a person ask?
Okay. Tapper, I'm not going to say anything else about it.
No, I got nothing.
Yeah.
Tapper, a snuff watch.
Here's your snuff watch for Tuesday. And just
hang on.
The lead singer of the Southern rock band Molly Hatchet has died. His family said Danny Joe Brown died of complications from diabetes. He died at his home near Fort Lauderdale. The Jacksonville native joined Molly Hatchet in 1975. The group was named after a Southern prostitute who allegedly beheaded and mutilated her clients.
Excellent.
Brown was frontman for the group's self-titled album in 1978, which went platinum. In 1979, the next album, Flirtin' with Disaster, sold over 2 million copies.
Did you ever have to play Flirtin' with Disaster?
Yes. According to reports, Brown ended his career after a stroke. In 1998, he was 52.
All right, so there's a... And you gotta... I won't dwell on it at length for any period of time. When we take a break, whenever that is, we'll go into the break with a Molly Hatchet song, but... We're just going to play. It's not going to be some obscure. I'm just going to play Flirting with Disaster, like 30 seconds of it, and then we'll be done. Because what else are you really going to play from that group? But the thing you got to give it up to that guy for is that's a guy who really made a have out of a have-not, because that guy did not have, a traditionally good singing voice. And rock and roll is really the only place that guy ever could have made his mark, because he sounded like a Muppet. And really singing, I don't mean to knock the group. They sold millions of records. People love them. You know what? KGON's probably playing that song right now, so it doesn't matter. But he sounded like he had Frank Oz's hand up his ass. And so, you've got to give it to that guy for being able to make it with such a weird voice. So, so there you go. There's your snuff watch.
From Tuesday.
That song like 70 times a night, and you just knew somewhere there was a Primer gray Camaro with one speaker just blaring it somewhere outside a bowling alley.
Well, what's old Dennis Miller up to, you ask?
Failing? Being forgotten?
Say, Dennis, what's coming up on your show?
Well, we've got an eclectic little brew over here. I don't quite know which way we should take the show. We've got some celebrities.
Obviously.
We've got some
how about taking
guests.
It up?
We've got some discussion about the events of the day. I don't think I quite want to turn into... the person who covers the trials every day, but then again, me running around in a chef's hat or doing naked karaoke, I don't think that's the way for the show. So, we're still figuring out what we're doing, but we're getting better at whatever we're doing right now.
And that's what he thinks. That's what he's told. He's quite an entertainer, isn't he? Doesn't it bother you that more comedians aren't pro-Bush?
Well, I don't think I will be alone if you have many more days like yesterday where you watch 800,000 anti-Syrian people march in the streets of Lebanon. I think that Bush is a great man. I think 50 years hence, people will look back on this presidency and think, my God, he had the courage to do the thing that everybody was against almost at that time. As far as what my other comedian friends think, listen, they're my friends. I hope they stay my friends. But if you're, I'm 51 years old now, if you're still shooting your beliefs through the prism of other people, you're a loser. I believe what I believe. People can figure it out.
It's just sad.
Please find another line of work.
I didn't mean to distract you. I was picking a speck of dust up off the chair. bothering. You're looking at dust. I got a whole thing. All right. Sarah knows. I got a thing. We're a little special.
It's gross. You'll lick your finger and then touch
it. Well, there's no way to pick it up.
It's a Howard Hughes thing.
No, but like anything, like tables that are out in public or like off of people's arms.
Bits of Travis's
gross.
Skin. I'm not even going to waste time talking about Dennis Miller. I mean, I have assumed for many months now that the real Dennis Miller is just being held hostage somewhere, like he's in a pod. All right. Screw him. His show's going to be off the air in 6 months anyway. Doesn't matter.
On the TV tonight, Escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood. Buffalo Dreams. A Navajo teen and a mountain biker from Chicago must bridge the cultural gap to become friends to preserve tribal land.
At least he didn't call it Indian Summer.
Mm. Fatal Reunion. A terrified woman works with the district attorney to stop an old acquaintance who's stalking her.
It's got to be on Lifetime.
It is.
Does that have a Erica Laniak?
It does.
Bada bing. Erica Laniak.
What's the name of this one?
Fatal Reunion.
Oh.
It's always a fatal something or a she said something or other or a,
She said no.
Erica Laniak.
My daughter.
Everybody knows that she was the woman in the cake in Under Siege, but she was also the girl that Elliot kisses in E.T. when he goes nuts in the classroom there, and then she grew up to do that.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
But on at the same time, which I must... Oh, I can't. It's too late. Rollerball is on.
All right, I'll get... Okay, here's the thing about the TV. I swear to you...
It just happens that two things I want to see are on.
I know, okay, but here's the thing.
You're a bad person.
And that special begins to end on Bravo, doesn't it?
Okay, I feel badly about it. As Sarah will tell you, though, you get a TiVo, you plug it in, you're good to go in like an hour. You're
except
good to
go. Right.
Yes, I know. I feel like a big jerk because I've had it, and I had to wait and get the wireless adapter, and then I had the Bruce set me a thing, and you know what it is? It's like I blame Intercom for this because every day it's like they're putting a meeting at 3:30 in the afternoon, which is like right in the middle of. It screws me, so it's impossible to. All right, I swear to God I'll get it this week. And if I don't, you can beat me with a stick.
Well, I'm not upset. I am upset with the GE dishwasher repairman who didn't show up Thursday and lied, saying that he called twice and left messages but got no answer. You do not get no answer on a cell phone.
Oh, no, see.
And there is no number saying that somebody called, not once, not twice. This is an excuse you give during the 1960s, so apparently it's an older fellow who wanted to play hooky on a beautiful sunny day, lie to his boss, make me wait 5 hours and not show up, and you're rescheduled today between 1 and 5. You better show up.
Or you'll get more of the same. Well, that is that thing of...
There's no answer. There is no such thing as no answer anymore.
Well, that thing of I tried to call you, but you weren't around.
Yeah.
You're right. That's not a thing you can do anymore with the cell phone because it has my phone has, just like yours, the missed calls.
So, General Electric, GE, and by the way, the number I called in Tennessee who would not give me any numbers to the local offices because they can't give them out, I'll get to the bottom of this. I'll find those numbers.
Have people
someone
fired.
Someone will pay.
There will be vengeance.
Yes, there will be.
Bodies will swing and necks will crack.
There's no such thing as I tried to call and there was no answer. You do get a message.
How about
as you can see, you're not in trouble. The GE dishwasher repairman is.
The new version of that is I'm going through a tunnel, so I may lose you. And then they just hang up. I do that.
So, GE, how can I follow your advice by not using my dishwasher because it may set the house on fire if you're not going to send anyone over to fix it?
Customer service at its best. Does GE advertise? Well, not anymore. So, there you go.
We'd like to call them, but we don't know what office to call. They don't give out numbers.
You know, that's a website that somebody should run. And let me ask you this right now. I'm asking the people.
Yes.
If this website exists, find it, send it to us. We will use it for the forces of good. If this website does not exist, create it, send it to us, and we will wield it for the people who are righteous. Are we all in agreement on this? There needs to be a website where they publish the direct dial number for customer service for companies that will not give it to you. Remember when Mike Daisy was here?
Oh, yeah.
A few months ago. He used to work at Amazon. They no longer give you their customer service number, so he announced it. And he's like, go to my website. I have it written there. The direct dial for... Because you go to Amazon.com, who... I have never had a bad experience with Amazon.com, but I did want to check on the status of an order at one point. I didn't have my order number. I needed to call, blah, blah, blah. You cannot find the goddamn number anywhere. It's gone. which they have done intentionally, because they know, like many other companies, often utility companies, they know that they don't have to be polite or courteous, because it's like they've already got your money, and what are you going to do? So there needs to be a website where people say, like, look, here's Amazon's customer service number. Here's the customer service number for Sears Roebuck, whatever it is, so you can call directly. So that somebody gives the hookup.
But listen to this, GE. I'm using my dishwasher tonight. If it burns my house down, it's your fault. The dishes are dirty.
There will be a tallying and an adding up, and there will be a day of reckoning. There will be. You're listening to KOTK Vancouver, Portland, KSLM Salem, on Entercom Station.
Well, Andre 3000, mostly known for his work as a member of the hip-hop group Outkast, has recently turned his attention to acting with the release of the film Be Cool. His venture into acting may continue, as he's been tapped to play late guitar god Jimi Hendrix on screen if the project can ever get into production. Mr. Andre... Or is it Mr. 3000?
Mr. 3000.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the speculation that Outkast is splitting up.
We're not breaking up at all. Actually, we have two albums that's supposed to come out this year. One of them will be the soundtrack to an HBO film that we finished. It's a 1930s period piece. And it's kind of like a love story, thriller, gangster, musical, everything type of movie directed by Brown Barber. So that'll be the next Outkast album, the soundtrack.
The question is, how does the New York Times refer to him? Because we, as I've noted numerous times, they did call Meatloaf Mr. Loaf, because they have that thing of they don't refer to anybody by just their last name. It is always Mr. or Mrs. I'm looking up the New York
How
Times right now.
How about 3000?
Well, no, it would have to be Mr. something.
Mr. 3000?
They don't call...
Mr. 3K, MR3K.
Mr. NWA, Mr. AK.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm looking it up.
Andre says, despite his popularity, he never gets sick of hearing, hey, yeah.
No, honestly, you're never sick of hearing it, because I don't listen to the radio a lot, and I don't sit around playing the album.
Yes, it is.
Why
are you
doing this? The
last
time I heard it was when I, bought my little laptop and got
iTunes. That's stupid. How could he spend 50 seconds talking about this?
And so I sat and listened to every song, and I was listening to it almost like a fan, like man, I hadn't heard that in a long time. I forgot where I was when I wrote it. So I'm not really, tired of hearing it now, performing it.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to get in a certain space, because people, they see the video and they see me perform.
Thank you.
And they think I'm that way, all the time. But
okay.
It's, totally opposite. So
all right.
I have to get into that mode.
We appreciate it.
Sometimes you really don't feel like getting into that mode. Because people, they see the video and
this has been
they see
spliced
me perform.
Together. Okay. Oh,
they
think doing
I'm that
thing
way,
again.
All the time, but it's, totally
It's playing
opposite.
Back to back.
So I have to get in.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, that would have just kept looping forever and ever. If Sarah was dead, we would have been stuck in here forever. If someone else was running the board. Okay.
They'd be browsing through Entertainment Weekly until about 3 or 4 until they realized my shift ended 4 hours ago. Andre, please give an update on the Jimi Hendrix film.
Right now, it's up in the air, 50-50. It's like Hollywood wants to make it. We have producers on board and a couple of directors in line want to do it. It's really a matter of the family releasing songs. The sister, she owns the rights to, the songs. And I guess it's, they have a battle between his two brothers
and stepsister.
So they're, going
I'd rather hear
who owns
dead air during Don the mic.
Nobody's giving up any rights to the song, so
way to get the Don the dead air sponsored.
Maybe we can shoot it. Going at it about who owns certain rights.
Okay, it's doing that thing again.
I can't even tell. He's just babbling on and on. Is he repeating himself? I don't think he is.
Just one long drone.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Well, we've had enough anyway.
We got to get Beltone or somebody to sponsor. See, we were kooky. We'd get Beltone or some hearing aid company. Somebody sent me an email here that purports to be the general, the GE customer service number, but I'm still trying to figure out if it's real.
Mm-hmm.
I want to call, and then it's just like some nunnery.
I have a feeling I'm going to need it later.
Yeah, okay.
Let's turn our attention to Paris Hilton, shall we?
Can we, please?
She guest stars on American Dreams. In the show, she plays I Dream of Jeannie star Barbara Eden. Is that true? On the show, she plays I Dream of Jeannie star Barbara Eden.
Did American Dreams was that show about the 60s,
uh-huh.
And they've always got the music stars and the... And the shtick is that they have modern stars portray old stars, like they had Alicia Keys play Diana Ross or whatever it is, whoever. But that's completely... First of all, because Barbara Eden... I've said my joke about her is that she's the hottest woman. The oldest woman I would still sleep with. But she was flat-out gorgeous.
And she is why many people ran out and bought color TVs back during that time.
Really, because of the whatever they did.
It was one of the first shows in color, yeah.
But she was unbelievably beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that she's going to be portrayed by that beaky-faced whore is just ridiculous. Yeah, I can't get
Paris, please talk about Working on American Dreams.
I think it's a great family show, and I just like the music and just the whole concept of all these guest stars coming in and, you know, being a character from the 60s. It's cool. It's like playing dress up and getting to be like one of my all-time favorite characters. It's awesome.
Paris, please discuss the storyline.
Well, I'm on set working, and they sneak in, and I see Meg and Roxanne, and they just come up, and I recognize Meg because my niece is, like, a fan of hers. So we just become friends, and I end up inviting them to a little party at my house after.
So. Okay.
Well, anyone who has spent time in a boys' locker room knows what a wedgie is. Now others can find out by looking up the latest edition of Webster's New World College Dictionary coming out in May.
That's not a thing that girls really do to each other. Is it the girls that give each other wedgies?
No.
What's the girl equivalent of that? Is there some equivalent to some mean thing that girls do to each other in locker rooms?
Tugging of ponytails?
Bitch slap each other.
Really?
That happened?
Did that happen?
No, not... Well, yeah, if there's a fight.
But I mean... With any regularity?
I don't think girls really are all about the touching each other. That's something exclusive to you guys.
Yeah, guys do really have this thing for grabbing another guy and putting their hand down his pants and grabbing his underwear and yanking it all the way. It is kind of weird.
That is really weird.
A whole lot of levels. Yeah, it's no fun.
Well, the definition, wedgie, a noun. The meaning, a prank in which the victim's undershorts are jerked upward so as to become wedged between the buttocks. Some of the other entries... This year, that weren't there in the last dictionary, are Al-Qaeda, blog, cargo pants, and irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it may look like any ordinary mouse, but for America's scientists, a tiny animal threatens to ignite a profound ethical dilemma. In one of the most controversial scientific projects ever conceived, a group of university researchers in California's Silicon Valley is preparing to create a mouse whose brain will be composed mostly of human cells.
Oh, see, that's just wrong. See, you can't do that. You can't have given up. This is how it starts. This is like the Cyberdyne thing. When they started with a computer, then it achieved self-awareness, then they try to pull the plug, Cyberdyne fights back. Next thing you knew, apocalyptic nuclear death is raining down on everybody. So you can't start giving the mouse the brain of a human.
Well, researchers at Stanford have already succeeded in breeding mice with brains that are 1% human cells.
For what possible... You know what this is? This is just scientists sitting around getting high at the lab late at night. They're dipping into the lysergic and trying to figure out what they can do to justify getting a new grant. Does the mouse come equipped with a little car and wacky adventures to get into?
You'll come in one day, you'll find one running the boards. Last week, the university's ethics committee approved the research under certain conditions. Professor Harvey Greeley, the head of the committee, says, quote, if the mouse shows human-like behaviors, like improved memory or problem-solving, it's time to stop.
Oh, it's a bad, bad, bad scene. All right. Hey, don't forget, we've got some... Now, again, we've got these sound effects that we're going to play here just for a while. People are asking me if I have the old KOTK gold liners, like the WFAN liners, and I don't think I do. I don't know where those went to.
I think I have a couple at home. I have the top of the RID at home.
Oh, really? More invigorating than a walk-through OMSI.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it. We'll do it here in a little while.
I don't think I have any of those. Tim has a couple of those. I don't, and again, I would not. Here's the closest thing I found. I was not able to find any of my liners from Utah. They're in a box somewhere. But I was able to, the only thing I was able to dig up was like a dat of my old, like a commercial reel, you know, where it's like a dat of spots that you recorded. So,
but we do have some of these spots that you have not heard in quite some time that we'll get to.
Tim has just left the room.
What is it? Oh, he's bringing in something.
He's gone to the room. He's dug something up. So I think Tim's going to be bringing you a CD of something or other.
What is this? What have you got here?
I have the Rick Emerson opening bed, KOTK legal ID.
This is all from when we were 1080?
I guess it was, yeah.
All right. Well, do we have the capability of playing that now?
We do. All you got to do is pop me up.
All right. I think you're up. I think Sarah's got you up in there.
10 o'clock or whatever. See, but those aren't actually so bad. I mean, I kind of liked them. They did have sort of a kitsch factor. The ones I'm talking about, and this is why I got to track them down. The ones I got to find are the ones from Salt Lake, where it was a whole lot of, it was a lot of the edgy, because we were like a guy-oriented station. And so a lot of the liners I had from Utah were like, kicking your grandmother down the stairs, you know, selling crack to your children. It's the Rick Emerson Show. So I got to find those at some point. So, well, let's finish up the news here. We'll do TV tonight, and then we'll play some of these cuts before we end the segment. Coming up later on, Jolie's going to be here with How Chicks Think. Top 5, Dennis Glasgow's going to be here. We're going to talk about the Listener Party, Listener Party 8, which is coming up Friday, April 15th. At the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. We're going to talk about that later on this hour. We have some additional Britney Spears news, et cetera, et cetera. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Osama Watch.
Here's your Osama Watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Pakistani forces hunting Osama bin Laden lost track of the al-Qaeda leader after coming close to discovering his whereabouts several months ago. The president told the BBC that intelligence agencies had indications 8 to 10 months ago about the whereabouts of bin Laden, but then the trail went cold. There have been occasions where, through interrogation of those who have been captured, that al-Qaeda members have been apprehended, and through technical means, there was a time when the dragnet has closed.
No, it doesn't really matter. We don't really think about him all that much.
We know roughly the area where he possibly could be. That is, I think, not very long ago, say maybe 8 to 10 months back.
Law enforcement providing the same stunning clarity as they do in my neighborhood.
And by the way, Osama's niece is in New York.
I've got that.
You got that, sir?
I've got that story about Osama's niece who's trying to become a rap star.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Where is it?
It was in the Daily News today.
I've got it right here. Hold on. Where is it? Here we go. Osama's New York beauty.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the New York Post, our favorite newspaper. She walks down the street on the Upper East Side, thin and stylish, another well-heeled beauty chatting away on her cell phone. Except that she isn't. She's Osama bin Laden's niece. Wafa bin Laden left the city in the months before her uncle's ghastly attack, but she's back now, living in a friend's posh pad off Park Avenue, pursuing her career as a pop star.
That is way too many P's in one sentence.
And give it up right now. Look, I don't care how gangster you think. We are not yet at the point where you can become a gangster rapper by calling yourself bin Laden. I know that there's a gangster rapper named after every other thug. There's like a Capone and an Elliot Ness, and there's a whatever. It's gotta wait a few years.
I saw the most white trash thing this weekend. There's that, you know how they have the Calvin thing peeing on different things?
Yes.
I was at the mall with Nate, and there was a Calvin peeing on this thing that said Ben Laden, but it was spelled B-E-N-L-A-D-E-N.
Like Ben Laden?
Ben Laden.
Just like Ben Harper.
It was horrible.
She wants to be a pop star, but no record company will have her, said one pal. She keeps saying, poor me, I have no family because my uncle is a terrorist. The way she treats people, now she's trying to make money by giving French lessons. But if people don't want her French lessons, she hangs up and screams, bitch. She has also been known to scream at friends whose connections did not pan out for her, you are of no use to me. One pal said she called up my connection and screamed at them, you will meet with me now. They said, no way. She's a spoiled rich girl wearing thin.
That's no way to get auditions.
Really not. Really, if you're Osama bin Laden's niece, it's best that you just kill yourself now and get back in line. You know what I mean? Just put yourself back in the gumball machine of souls, and better luck next time. Maybe you'll be a banana slug or something.
That's the Osama watch.
There's your Osama watch.
officials canceled their annual spelling bee. What emerged was an eight-hour letter brouhaha. Suddenly, local newspapers started receiving letters urging a reversal of the decision. Talk radio picked up the story, and school and community leaders got phone calls and emails. I was surprised by all the attention, said the new school superintendent, but national educators and spelling bee coordinators aren't. They said the mini outcry was another example of the popularity of spelling bees, which have expanded substantially over the past decade and have been celebrated in films, television, books, and theater.
Look, I can spell a whole lot of things, but I think I'm the first. I'll be the first one with the spelling bees, man. Here's the thing about spelling bees, and I can. This is probably the same for all of us. Is it spelling bees were this rite of passage at the Catholic school that I went through because it was a way to bring you up and humiliate you in front of the class by having you choke at the last minute on a word? I will never forget. I will, in fact, we could probably go around the room and you will remember the word that you lost a spelling bee on. Sarah?
Yep. It was trophy. I put an E in it.
Oh, like a...
That's called a T-R-O-P-H, E-Y.
Oh, yeah. Tim Riley?
I never lost a spelling bee.
Nobody likes a boaster. Nobody likes a braggart, Tim Riley. I remember I was in like second or third grade and I lost on restaurant because I didn't know there was a U in the middle of it.
That is a hard one.
But you will never forget. But no. I always question whenever I think of trophy, I still question whether or not I'm spelling it right.
Actually, I did put a U in it, but I put it in the wrong place. I had, you know, rest T-U-R-A-U-N-T. I thought it was round, like restaurant or whatever. And it, this girl named Lisa beat me and I will never forgive her. You will burn in hell someday for beating me because because it's like when you're a dork, that's like one of the only demonstrable skills you have is the ability to spell words. So it's like I made the mistake of going to see Spellbound, which is that documentary about the spelling bee.
Oh, I own that.
Oh, man, all of my horrible flashbacks came. I was sitting on the edge of my seat, bite chewing on my fingers, filled with agita about the whole thing. It's Tim Riley.
Okay, listen to this. This is going to cause a little controversy, as it should. As if the hair in your salad wasn't bad enough, a city health inspector says there have been several cases of tongue rings and other facial jewelry found in the food of the city's restaurants in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It was enough to persuade the governor's food safety council to recommend banning facial jewelry for restaurant workers who prepare food, perhaps becoming the first state in the country to do so. Despite his testimony when contacted by the AP, John Cecil of Cheyenne Health Department won't cite a single documented case about facial jewelry falling into a restaurant dish.
Oh, please. The number of things in restaurants that I saw fall into food or that I saw put into food, the number of things that we have all had that experience. Being in a restaurant, you bite into the salad and there's like some Trojan wrapper or some crap, and everyone has had that happen to them.
We've had several cases of old ladies finding tongue rings and rings and whatnot in their food. We actually had a lady at one of our finer restaurants in town, and she found a tongue ring. The council voted 5-3 to recommend the changes, which could go into effect as early as spring.
It wasn't me. This is my mom. This is so gross. I didn't want to say it on the air. And it's not even a disgusting body part. Well, let's at least still get away from the smell discussion for my mom. My mom was at a salad bar one time. I don't even want to say it. Should I say it?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
It's not even a horrific body part in its proper context.
But she found it.
But when you find a fingernail in your salad, and not like a Lee Press-On nail, like this came out of my skin nail. I get this. Okay, we're done.
Yeah, we are.
Sarah's covering her ears.
Time for the hick wash.
We're finished. She's covering her ears. We're done. We're done talking about the fingernail.
So wrong.
All right, here's your hick wash.
Hick wash.
Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay, we have two today. This first one comes to us from Wichita, Kansas. Propelled by a Polish strategy crafted by activists on America's political right, a battle is intensifying across this great nation on how students are taught about the origins of life. Policymakers in 19 states await proposals that question the science of evolution. They are calculated, please, to teach what advocates consider gaps in long-accepted Darwin theory, which many rely on the idea of intelligent design, which posits the central role of a creator.
Maybe they can question the science of, like, math or spelling next.
The growing trend has alarmed scientists and educators who consider it a mass effort to replace science and theology with theology. But 80 years after the Scopes monkey trial, in which a Tennessee man was prosecuted for violating state law by teaching evolution, it was the anti-evolutionary scientists and Christian activists who say they are the ones being prosecuted
by
the liberal establishment.
Let's all weep for the poor persecuted Christians in America.
Yeah. Part two. This comes to us from Washington State, our neighbors to the north, our biggest suburb. Organizers of the Cowboy Caviar Festival in Conconully, I guess it's a town.
Is cowboy caviar code for something?
That's what it says.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are auctioning off the titles of King and Queen of the Ball on eBay. The winning royal couple will receive free lodging, entertainment, and food in the north central Washington town for three whole days. They'll reign over a contest to see which of the three restaurants can cook up the best bull testicles.
Okay.
The town of 200 hopes to attract more attention to the June 18th event.
Please don't say it. Please tell me they didn't use the phrase.
Which sold 60 tickets last year. Maryland Church of the Chamber of Commerce says some people plan their vacations around testicle festivals. Some people do.
All right, there's your Hick Watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Now, if I pick up this phone call, am I going to regret it? Is this going to be... Is this going to be a guy telling me something horrific he found in his food?
I don't think so.
Is this going to be a guy telling me about a Band-Aid or something he found in his chili?
I don't think he wanted to.
Maybe it's a bull testicle show. I just know that's what it's going to be. Rick, I'm loving your scratch and sniff radio today. Have you ever thought about doing a concept or a la John Waters? Yeah, well, let's see. Rick, are you guys talking about the worst smell ever? If so, I've got a submission. No, we are not. No. I'm stopping that in its tracks. We are not talking about the worst smell ever. Rick, it seems to me that Entercom has already been using mice with 1% human brain. The only problem I think they've encountered so far is the dead air that happens during their cheese break in the afternoon. Otherwise, the station does resemble some sort of giant maze. I swear that I saw... say Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim reference here. Keep up the good work, Entercom. Maybe soon they can change all of the on-air talent over to mice as well. It's close to that already. F-Matt with Sarah's armpit sniff.
This F-Matt is brought to you by Barfly Magazine.
I just looked over and Sarah was dousing herself with Febreze like
and
a monk douses himself with kerosene.
I don't know what to do because we don't have any Lysol and I think it might be the board that smells.
Uh-huh. Okay. It's...
I don't want to spray Febreze on the board.
Well, see, the thing is, eventually, it's going to have to be like one of those houses where there's a tuberculosis. You just have to burn everything. You know what I mean? It's going to be like in the Velveteen Rabbit. It's all going to have to go in the fire at the end. It's because there's no... Because, look, you spend three... You are a scrubbed and clean young lady. And you spend, what, 3 hours a day on that board, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, there's eight other hours during the day when that board is touched, the chair sat upon, the counter used by... You know, the carpet shed upon by other people. So one cannot undo 3 hours of damage or 8 hours of damage in 3 hours. It's just not going to work. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get this call from Hank. And then we'll play. We've got these long-lost sounders that we'll play. Jolie will be here. Top five. Dennis Glasgow, etc. This is Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. We'll be back after this. He's dead now. He's the guy who sang for Molly Hatchet. Here's his one song, which is probably playing in a classic rock radio station right now. Turn it up. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. You stay right there.